the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities in discussion with one another. Such persons can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body. So all conditioned souls, even devotees, are subjected to these pangs, thirst, hunger and other bodily demands. The surest way to transcend these demands, Karada Muni says, is to drink the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities in discussion with one another. That's the only way to get over the bodily demands. The parasparam tvad gunavada sidhu piyusha niryapita deha dharma. Piyusha, it is the nectar. Tvad gunavada sidhu piyusha. So that's our treasure. And that's the most valuable thing we can have. Read, discuss, share and drink the nectar. And similar verse comes in the, I think this is the 11th canto verse. Parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavad yashah mithoratir mithastushtir nivrittir mitha atmanah. So there also, what are the effects of a friendly devotional dealing? That's what is described. So it says, in a friendly devotional dealing, when devotees discuss about Krishna among themselves, this is what happens. It is purifying our consciousness. Pavanam, that's the word. Then, as devotees thus develop their loving relationship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. Mithatushtir. Feel happiness and satisfaction. Mitho ratir, mithas tushtir. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. Nivrittir. That's how we can give up material sense gratification. Just like Krishna says, Vishaya vinivartante, niraharasya, rasavarjam, rasopyasya, param drishtva nivartate. So in order to give up material sense gratification, we need to give up the lower taste by acquiring a higher taste. And finally the verse says, as soon as one engages in Krishna consciousness, he transcends the limits of past and present and becomes situated in the eternal activities of the Lord. So past means we are lamenting about the past, and present is always usually in illusion. Future is always hankering or worrying about the future. So to transcend past, present and future, we need to discuss Krishna among devotees. So in the purport, it is mentioned, when devotees engage in sankirtan, chanting the glories of the Lord together, they experience the highest transcendental bliss and satisfaction. Thus they encourage one another to give up material sense gratification, which is based on illicit sexual connections. One devotee will say to another, oh, you have given up sense gratification? Starting today, I shall also give it up. That's how we encourage each other. One should learn to increase one's love for the devotees, to satisfy them and to give up sense objects unfavorable to serving Krishna. That's what happens. In the association of devotees, one's transcendental ecstasy increases more and more through discussions about the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, one who wants to be free from the harassment of Maya in the form of sense gratification must constantly associate with pure devotees of the Lord. So we all are harassed by Maya. We need to take shelter. So here we find Nanda Maharaj is delaying his visit, procrastination. Not because he is lazy, not because he has some sense gratificatory goal, but because he wants to take Krishna back. On the other hand, a conditioned soul, a living entity, usually procrastinates for the wrong reasons. Because he is too lazy, or he has some better hopes of sense gratification here, therefore he keeps on delaying the more important activities, right? So in the Gita, Krishna says one of the qualities of the mode of ignorance is procrastination. Ayukta prakrita stabda shatho naishkriti kolasa vishadi dirga sutri cha karta tamasa uchyate. Dirga sutri, Prabhupada writes there, that something that can be done in one day, he will delay it for 10 years, something like that. He will keep on doing it for 10 years. That's how a conditioned living entity keeps on delaying things. So, but a devotional procrastination, as we find here, is not because of laziness. Here, Nanda Maharaj is not exactly doing out of laziness. In the Ramayana, we find this incident of Vibhishan coming to surrender to Lord Ram, and he meets Sugriva, and he requests him, so please convey my message to Lord Ram that I want to surrender immediately, and please don't delay, because I don't know when my mind is going to change. Right now I have the inspiration to surrender, and I want to surrender immediately. Later my mind may change and I may have some other ideas. So please go and immediately convey the message, and I want to immediately surrender. So that inspiration to surrender is, we should cherish it. We should treasure it and keep it secure. Otherwise, in the neophyte stage, that inspiration to surrender is very small. It's a small spark, and we won't even realize when it got extinguished. So before it gets extinguished, as soon as we get the inspiration, offer it to Krishna. So too many things we can talk about friendship. In one lecture long back, Radhanath Maharaj gave some nice quotes in one retreat we had in GV. So there he said, friendship is a gift of Krishna, a gift of Srimati Radharani and Guru. It should never be taken cheaply. Our satisfaction in Krishna consciousness and our ability to convince others are very much based upon the type of loving relationship we develop among each other. Even the ability to convince others depends on our loving relationship with one another. Reciprocation with Krishna is a very advanced platform. We can taste it in the relationship with devotees. Otherwise, the aspects of Krishna consciousness will become dry and tasteless if you don't have loving relations with devotees. So that's how Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev are dealing with each other. Baldev Prabhu also asked me to speak on something about chanting, because this is the holy name week or fortnight is going on. So we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how these five most important items are there of devotion service, five most important limbs. The verse says, Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavata Shravan Mathura Vasa Shri Murtira Shraddhaya Sevan. Sadhu Sangha, association of devotees, Nama Kirtan, chanting of the holy names, Bhagavata Shravan, hearing and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Mathura Vas, residence in a holy place like Mathura, and Shri Murtira Sevan, deity worship. These are the five most important limbs of devotion service, out of the 64 that is mentioned by Rupa Goswami. And any one of these five can evoke our loving devotional sentiments to Krishna. But if we cannot perform all these five, then what to do? So all the nine limbs of devotion service can be performed if we perform these five. But of these five, three are considered most important. Which are those? Association of devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Of these three, two are most important. Two are indispensable. Which are those? The first two, chanting Hare Krishna and association of devotees. And Shivara Maharaj says, but if circumstances force you to choose only one, then we must choose the chanting of the holy name. The chanting of the holy name is the most important item among all the limbs of devotion service. So many places we find hearing was most important. Right? Among the nine limbs, hearing comes first. So many people, some of us can argue why hearing and why chanting, not hearing, is the most important. So Prabhupada explains, hearing is already included in chanting. When we chant, we hear Hare Krishna. And hearing is important in the sense that for a newcomer, hearing is the process by which he gets the knowledge about the importance of chanting. So therefore, in that sense, hearing is more important than chanting. But once we get the knowledge of chanting, the importance of chanting and the glories of the holy name, then one must take to the chanting of the holy names. So what exactly is chanting? So we have two processes, japa and kirtan. There is this verse in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It says, japato harinamani sthane shatagunadika atmanam japunatyuchair japan shrotrun punaticha. This means, compared to a person who is attached to chanting japa, the person who performs loud chanting of the holy name of Sri Hari is 100 times better. This is because the person who chants japa purifies himself, whereas the person who chants the holy name loudly in kirtan purifies himself, all those who are with him, and everyone else who hears the holy vibration. So both are important, but the effects are strikingly different. So among chanting, we have chanting of the pastimes of the Lord. Kirtan includes everything. Pastimes of the Lord, devotional songs, offering prayers. But among all this, chanting Krishna's names is considered the best. Even better than glorifying Krishna's qualities, which are all purifying and all important. But exclusive chanting of Krishna's holy names is the topmost among kirtan. But unfortunately, we commit offenses while chanting. We have a list of 10 offenses that we need to avoid. And Shivram Maharaj writes about the dangers of inattentive and offensive chanting. He says, offensive chanting invariably debilitates faith in the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. It weakens our ability to remember Krishna. Offenders of the holy name are unable to reap the protection that chanting can award us. Chanting can award full protection, but the more we commit offensive chanting, that protection becomes weak. Protection becomes weak means we become more vulnerable to the attacks of Maya. And therefore we must be vigilant. Extremely cautious, extremely watchful about how we perform our chanting and japa and kirtan. So, in his book, our Vaisheshika Prabhu, he gives a nice understanding of what could be a good sadhana. What are the characteristics of a good sadhana? And he says five things that are characteristic of a good sadhana. He says, strong sadhana means it should be performed with proper attitude. It is regular. It is attentive. It is goal-oriented. And it is best carried out according to one's capacity. These are the five characteristics. So proper attitude, let's elaborate. Proper attitude means, we have the famous shloka, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarurapi Sahishna, Amanina Maharadena. So one who is humbler than a blade of grass, tolerant than a tree, and ready to offer all respects to others and expecting no respect in return, can chant the holy names constantly. That is the foundational principles of the right attitude. But Prabhupada explains, here Vaisheshika Prabhu quotes Prabhupada. So Prabhupada talks about three things of right attitude. Good chanting, good sadhana is strict sincere and serious. So strict means, he says, to be rigorous with oneself in following one's chosen method of practice. So Raghunath Das Goswami is the emblem of strict sadhana. His sadhana was so many thousands of obeisances to devotees, so many thousands of obeisances to Govardhan, and hardly eating anything, drinking anything. Right? It is said Raghunath Das Goswami's practices were like lines on a stone, cannot be erased easily. That is strict sadhana. Serious means one's practice, one is thoughtful and attentive to details. It also means that one does not back down from doing the needful to attain one's goal, even in the face of temptation, distraction and calamity. If one does not back down, that means such a person is serious in his sadhana. And sincere means clean, pure, free from pretense or deceit, proceeding from genuine feelings. Such sadhana is sincere. It also means without envy and without any ulterior motive. So Prabhupada, not that Prabhupada speaks about all these in one place, but it is from different places. This three formula we can use for proper attitude while performing our sadhana or chanting or kirtan. Then he says the next characteristic of a good sadhana. Okay, before that he says one more about attitude, something more about attitude. Dependence on Krishna. I am weak and helpless. You are the ultimate protector. Like Prabhupada talks about the child crying out for his mother. That should be our attitude while chanting Krishna's names. And it should be vigilant. Vigilant, there is this English saying, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. See, if someone needs freedom, right, we have these regulative principles of freedom. So regulative principles, that term appears restrictive, but that is going to award us the ultimate freedom. Right? So vigilance is the symptom of, sign of good sadhana, good sadhaka. So that is about attitude. Then he talks about the next characteristic. Strong sadhana is regularly performed. So what does it mean? Regular and reliable practice is also a cornerstone of strong sadhana. The Sanskrit word vrata or vow is related to the reliability of serious devotees. At the time of initiation, a devotee makes promises to or takes vows before the spiritual master and Krishna. Persons who always fulfill their promises, who always do what they say they will do, are deemed reliable. One who remains reliable over time invokes faith and confidence in others. If you keep on breaking, if you are not regular, then people's confidence in us will break and we lose the trust they have in us. So therefore, it should be regularly, consistently performed. That is a symptom of, sign of a good sadhana. So in the Gita you find this word Nityam and Satatam Krishna talks about. So it should be regularly performed. Next characteristic he says is a strong sadhana is attentive. Attentive means we are serious about improving the quality. As conscious living entities, we can choose where to place our attention at every moment, Vaisheshika Prabhu writes. And those who choose to fix their attention on one or more of the nine processes are demonstrating their chastity to Krishna. Prabhupada explains chastity in his purport. One should not become unchaste by stopping the activities of pure consciousness. This is third canto. If the activities of pure consciousness are stopped, certainly the conscious living force will be otherwise engaged. Otherwise engaged. Because unless engaged, the consciousness has no standing. Consciousness cannot be silent, even for a moment. So where we place our consciousness, our attention, that will decide our purity. So if we fix on the nine limbs of devotion service, then we are rightly situated. And he goes on to describe many other things. So, strict practitioners also turn off electronic devices and inform friends, family members and associates that they are not to be disturbed during their attentive bhakti practices. One who wakes up in the morning with such a solid plan sets the stage for the attentive practice of devotional service. This is a sign of attention. To put off electronic devices. Sadhana should be goal oriented. This is the fourth characteristic. So in the Bhagavad Gita purport, Prabhupada writes, second chapter. He says, disturbance is due to the want of an ultimate goal. This is the purport of, I don't remember the verse. Humans are meant for accumulating transcendental assets, Devi Sampath. So in order to obtain any asset, we need to have fixed goals, he writes. One who accumulates sufficient spiritual wealth becomes qualified for higher levels of devotional service. In fact, the Bhakti scriptures say that just as a capitalist hoards gold, a devotee, enlivened by the prospect of advancing his spiritual life, stockpiles sacred knowledge and mantras in the association of like-minded devotees. That's our asset. Knowledge about Krishna, mantras, these things we need to stockpile in our consciousness. Images, devotional images, devotional instructions. These are the wealth of a devotee. And we need to keep a good stock so that we can use them at the right moment. This truth is confirmed by a verse in Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. O Lord, just as a miser continually collects, counts and remembers his money, in the same way, let us continually collect, count and remember your holy names. In the material sense, greed is considered to be low grade quality, but when one's greed is applied to advancing in devotional service, it becomes a high grade desire, because it is perfectly utilized in divine grace, divine service. So we have, our Goswami is doing, what is that verse? Count. Sankhya purvaka nama gana nativi. So they would count. Count the number of obeisances they paid. Count the number of holy names they chanted. Everything was numerically measured. So we need to count. Here Vaisheshika Prabhu gives a good advice for all the devotees. He says we can decide to recite, say, one chapter of the Gita daily. There is Prabhupada's letter that advises one should recite one Gita chapter every day. Prabhupada writes, this book should be read by all of my students at least one chapter per day. And in Kirtan class, it should be discussed shloka after shloka. If you can simply cram Bhagavad Gita, then you will surely become a very good preacher. Cram it up. So he started, Vaisheshika Prabhu started a program called A Chapter a Day, CHAD. So initially they started for their own congregation. Now it's a worldwide thing, where many devotees come together, recite one chapter a day. And he gives a list out of the benefits of reciting one chapter a day. He says, these are benefits. Knowing that others are doing it with you, you will feel greater impetus to chant the Gita every day. This is one. By reciting and hearing the divine conversation between Krishna and Arjun, you will gain superior strength and knowledge in devotional service. Third, you will be cleared of offenses you have committed while worshipping the deity. Deity worship offenses are cleared by chanting a Gita chapter every day. You will automatically learn multiple Gita verses through reciting a chapter every day. So there are many such lists. And he says, he counted the number of pages in the entire Bhagavatam, combined, all 18 volumes, several thousand pages. And if you read, say, if you want to finish the whole Bhagavatam in 1 year, then we need to read 41 pages every day. Goal-oriented sadhana. And if you want to finish reading Gita in 1 month, one needs to read 25 or 28 pages every day. Then you can finish the whole Gita. And there are devotees who are doing, it seems. Finishing the whole Bhagavatam in 1 year, Chaitanya Charitamrita 1 year. And so that's goal-oriented sadhana. So if not 1 year, we can take at least 10 years to finish the whole thing. If we can finish in 10 years, that's also a big achievement. Organizing one's life around spiritual goals is very productive. For example, those who read a set number of pages of Srimad Bhagavatam every day soon find that such regular reading gives them a noticeable spiritual boost. A devotee who reads Prabhupada's purports, however, develops a clear intelligence and fortifies himself against bad choices, sadhaka makes a neophyte. So if you are constantly equipped with spiritual instructions, then the chances of making a bad choice will go down. And finally, the fifth characteristic, he says, practice by personal capacity and taste. Enthusiastic devotees naturally ask how to advance in devotional service. The invariable answer is that one must dutifully practice devotional service according to one's present capacity. So Krishna recommends in the third chapter of the Gita, it is far better, Shreyan Sudharmo Viguna Paradharma Sunashtita. Sudharme Nyanam Shreya Paradharmo Bhaya. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties even though faultily than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties. For to follow another's path is dangerous. Bhayavaha. So, neither imitation of higher standards. So a sadhaka should be careful. We should not imitate, which is something beyond our capacity. And nor we should be complacent about something following a very low capacity, saying that this is my capacity. So imitation of higher standards of devotional practice, not delaying one's practice, will help one advance in devotional service. So we need to be exactly choosing what exactly is my capacity. Maybe we can discuss with our authorities and get an estimation. How much is too much and how much is too less. And we can decide the optimum quantity of our sadhana. This sincere and balanced approach to devotional service will attract the mercy of the Vaishnavas, who will bless the devotee to make further advancement. With guidance from Guru, scripture and advanced devotees, one should fix a regular amount of practice into one's daily schedule and stick to it, even if at first the quantity seems minuscule. Even a little devotion practice will gradually expand to fill one's life. Adding a small quantity of yogurt to even a large pot of milk will transform the entire pot to yogurt overnight. That's how little by little the sadhana will affect our consciousness. Krishna helps those who sincerely do their best. So proper attitude, regularity, attentiveness, goal setting and acting according to one's own capacity are the elements of strong sadhana. Following these principles and practicing the basics of devotional service prescribed by the great authorities, a devotee will grow as strong as the Himalayas, Vaisheshika Prabhu writes. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Any questions or comments anyone has? Ventra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.